Well, by this time, all of you have encountered our new red book. And for those of you who contributed to this, we want to thank you so much. This is an amazing tool for us, both in terms of our worship at Mass, but also in terms of personal devotion as you come here and just pray. And you'll notice that the book Lumen Christi is set up with all of the readings for the entire church year. And it has the readings for both the cycle, year A, B, and C, because the church is on a three-year cycle. We just left year C, where we were in the Gospel of Luke. And we today enter into year A, which is St. Matthew, and then year B will be in St. Mark. And John gets to cover all three of the years at various times and in various ways. But this is a great tool. The thing we have to be sure we do is just notice which week we're in today. It's the first Sunday of Advent and year A, and the readings are there. We also have a place where there's this gray tint on the edge of the page, and that is the Mass itself. And if you have people attending with you who would like to follow along with the Mass, or if you'd like to follow along, everything is in here. And then following that, we have some of the various settings for the sung Mass, and then a number of prayers and devotionals that can be used both on Sunday and during the week. So a tremendous tool, and we hope that you will enjoy that tremendously. I know it'll be a bit of an adjustment from the old pew missalette that we used to have, but I think that what we're going to end up finding very quickly is that we're going to love this, especially the type is a little bit larger. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel a little better when I'm trying to follow along. Well, anyway, Happy New Year. It is the beginning of the new church year on the liturgical calendar. And today we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. Now, the thing we need to remember is that Advent is not a clever way for the church to remind us how many shopping days there are till Christmas. That's not the intent. This is called a little Lent. It's a penitential season, and you'll notice that certain portions of the liturgy are missing during this particular point, especially the Gloria, which we will again sing at Christmas. But this is a time of self-examination, of repentance, reflection, as we prepare for the coming of Christ. Now, Advent is not just a time where we prepare for the first coming, but we also prepare for the second coming. And in the course of the Advent Scriptures, we're going to encounter both the second coming and the first coming in its pages. So each Sunday, we also will commemorate this particular journey toward Christmas and toward the coming of Christ with the lighting of a candle on the Advent wreath. St. Cyril of Jerusalem reminds us this way. He says, "We preach not one Advent only of Christ, but a second one also, far more glorious than the former. For the former gave a view of his patience, but the latter brings with it the crown of a divine kingdom." So basically, what St. Cyril is saying is that we're living in the season of the already not yet. Christ has already come in the flesh, but he's not yet come for his second coming, which we declare in the Creed. And it's kind of like living in that interval between lightning and thunder. You know, the lightning flashes, and when I was a kid, I was taught, okay, after you see the flash of lightning, you go, 1001, 1002, 1003, and kaboom! And the thunder comes, and then they told me that means it's 3 miles away. Well, that's kind of the interval that we're living in right now. The lightning has flashed. Christ has come into the world visibly. We have seen him. As St. John said, "I have seen him with my own eyes. I have touched him. He has come." But there is another coming. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. And it is this second coming that will be the thunder of the kingdom. And we live in that season where we are still really anticipating that second coming. But in the interval, the beautiful thing is that Christ continues to come to us personally in the sacraments and particularly in the Eucharist. And so this is what we are trying to prepare for, both his first and his second coming. And Jesus was trying to help his disciples understand that in the reading that we have today. And he used Noah as a good example. And he talked about the fact that when Noah was building his ark, that people were going on about their daily chores. Everything was going on per normal, per usual. And then all of a sudden, when everyone had entered the ark, the rains came. And with the coming of the rain, so did the coming of judgment upon the earth. And at that time, Jesus said there were two types of people, those who were taken and those who were left during the rains. And after the torrent subsided and the flood came back down, those who were left in the ark were the ones that were brought out in safety. Now, one of the ways that we're reminded of this is that the church is really our ship of state. In fact, in our church building here, the main section where you are all seated is called the nave, from the Latin navis, which means ship. So we really are a type of ark. We are here and we are awaiting that time when the rains will subside and everything will come back and Christ again will come into his kingdom. And during this time, Jesus said we're called to vigilance. We're not to live our lives carelessly, but in readiness to celebrate both the first coming and the second coming, in readiness to be gathered to him when he comes again. This should be our highest ambition. In the gospel, he puts it this way: wake up, be awake, be alert. You do not know on which day the Lord will come. So in this call to wake up, he's like this alarm clock saying, you need to wake up and realize that you have to prepare yourselves. You can't allow yourselves to be lulled into a spiritual coma. Any kind of a spiritual slumber can keep us unaware of where we are with Christ. St. Augustine talked about it this way. He said, the sleep of the soul consists in forgetting God. There are some people who, although Christ is here, St. Augustine says, and the word is being preached, are still asleep as far as their soul is concerned. See, it's easy for us to fall into a slumber here in this interval. It's easy for us just to kind of go into some kind of numbness spiritually if we're not careful. That's why seasons like Advent are so important. First of all, we can slumber because of comparison. We can look around at everybody else in the church and in looking at them, we can go, you know, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, and I'm certainly more holy than you-know-who. Therefore, I'm going to be okay. I'm just going to go ahead and just keep doing what I'm doing because I'm definitely above the curve. We can also develop this sense of superficiality where we begin to think that all we have to do is go through the motions. All we have to do is just do what we're called to do as Catholics, and we'll be okay. I go to Mass. I go to confession once a year. I do all of the minimum of daily don't requirements required of me by the church. Well, that may not be enough. We have to be vigilant. We can also become hardened to the things of God. We can become angry with him or frustrated with things going on in our life. And this is a way that we can actually become like a sleeping person in the eyes of God. And this jeopardizes our relationship. So we need to, as our Lord said in the scripture, we need to be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man may come. Now, what does it mean to be prepared? How do you wake up? How do you get out of this slumber? Well, this is where we go to St. Paul in our second reading. And in his second reading, he tells us this: let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I call this Paul's salad scriptures because these are all the lettuce verses. I'll let you get that one for just a second. Let us, if you have to explain it, it's no good. Forget it. Anyway, we'll go on. But we're called to cast off things. This is what he is imploring us to do. Cast off the works of darkness. And he gives us some ideas of what this looks like. Orgies, drunkenness, promiscuity, lust, rivalry, jealousy. Sounds like a fraternity party, doesn't it? He says, put those things off, but the list is not exhaustive. There are other ways in which we need to cast off the things that have kept us down in this life. And casting off is an active term. It literally means to throw them away, to get rid of them, to quit wearing the lust of the flesh, take off the lust of the eyes, and remove the pride of life. Beautifully, this is what confession is for, that we have the opportunity through the sacrament of penance to literally put off, to cast off those things which hold us down. We can find our hope and our healing in allowing Christ's grace and His forgiveness to flow through the time of confession. Now, the other side of Paul's admonition is not just to cast off, but to put on, to take on to ourselves the things that are of Him. And this is the work that began at our baptism. That's one of the reasons why we have these beautiful baptismal gowns. It's a sign of putting on Christ, putting on the garments that are Him, the grace and the love that is His that come into us and become a part of who we are. We are able to continue to participate in that on a daily basis through the sacraments, through prayer, and through various ways in which we engage Him. But one phrase the apostle uses that's really fascinating, he says, put on the armor of light. Quite an interesting term. The armor of light. The armor that we wear is not steel to keep us from being assaulted by the things of this world, but an armor of light, which is in fact Christ Himself, His life and His love active within us. An old Protestant preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon used to say it this way, dress according to what you're going to encounter during the day. Well, if we're going to encounter the assaults of the enemy, we need to put on that which will resist all of those things, repel them, which is Christ's love and His life flowing through us. So, we've been reminded in these scriptures today, number one, we need to be awake. Number two, we need to be prepared. What's the third one? We need to begin. In our first reading, Isaiah declares it this way. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain and raised above the hills. All nations shall stream toward it. The peoples will come and say, come, let us climb the Lord's mountain. Now, what we need to understand is that the mountain of the Lord's house has been established. It is called the church. This is the way in which the Lord has established His kingdom here on earth. And all nations are coming to His church, and we're invited to participate. That's why there's the invitation. Come, let's climb together. Advent is a wonderful time to do just that, to begin, to climb the Lord's mountain, to become more involved in the things of His world, of His kingdom, that we might be prepared for His second coming. What can we do as we begin? Well, we can begin praying again. Maybe we've kind of lost a little bit of that fervor for prayer on a daily basis. Or reading of Holy Scripture every day to continue to allow His Word to come into us, as well as using other spiritual reading. Advent's a great time to come to confession. We're going to have lots of opportunity for you to come and to prepare your hearts through examination, and then to come, confess your sins, putting off the things of darkness and putting on the love of Christ. And there are some other devotional practices that we can use during this season so beautifully. You can have your own Advent wreath at home, and you can gather the family together at night, light the Advent candle, and pray together. And ask for Christ to come and be a part of your home, a part of your family, helping you to restore the love and the relationship that is there between husband and wife, between children and their parents. This is a powerful time. You know, in the liturgy of the divine worship of the personal ordinariate, which is the liturgy that we use here on Sunday evenings, which comes from our Anglican heritage, there's a prayer that we use as the invitation for confession. And I believe it is a prayer that, or an invitation that really belongs to us all during Advent. And this is what I say as we invite people to confess. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following after the commandments of God and walking from henceforth in His holy ways, draw near with faith. That invitation is here today. Through God's own mouth, He is inviting us to come to His mountain and to be with Him during this Advent. To begin developing and strengthening that personal relationship with Jesus Christ that each and every one of us should have. A great homilist and professor from St. Louis University, Father John Kavanaugh, said this in looking at this whole invitation and this whole passage of Scripture. Since we do not know the time when our lives stop or the earth melts, every day must be one of presence. Vigilance is for now. The watchful eye, the expectant heart is for this moment. If we are sleepwalking our way through life, now is the time to wake up. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.